This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we begin hour number two, 3 minutes and change after the hour. A little moving out. Billy Joel, we continue our tribute to the late, great John Feinstein right here on the Team 980 on this Friday afternoon, taking it up until 4 o'clock. Craig Hoffman at that point will take you until Maryland basketball, which comes your way with the pregame show. Johnny Holiday, Chris Nockey, and Walt Williams around 4 o'clock. Around 6 o'clock, I should say, and the tip just after 6:30. So there you have that. Again, George Mason will play at 5 o'clock at Capital One Arena. We'll keep you up to date on everything that we can going on right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Again... Look, everybody can have their opinion. What's the old saying? Opinions are like holes. Everyone has them and they all stink. Right? Maybe that's true. Maybe that's not.
Except ours.
Exactly. I mean, whatever we say is always right, even if it's wrong. That's going to annoy somebody, I can tell you that much. But the point being is, for one analyst that says the Commanders are microwaving the offseason, Connor Orr, MMQB, in a podcast with Albert Breer, said that. Listen, is Connor Orr a bad guy? No. Is Connor Orr a bad writer? No. Is he a dope or an idiot or a dumb bro or whatever? No. He's entitled to his opinion. It's an outsider's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
There is a difference, I believe, between an outsider's opinion and an insider's opinion. And while not everybody on the inside thinks of all of the different ramifications, it's probably more likely that you're going to get a better informed opinion of somebody on the inside than on the outside. But the outside allows a different canvas, if you will, to paint on, a different perspective, maybe a different approach. So just because Connor Orr thinks the Commanders have microwaved this offseason. Mad Max, can we play that front portion again, if you don't mind? I just want to make sure everybody gets a chance to hear it.
Sure. Give me one sec. I was highlighting a clip for when I started giving my take about it. No. You are good.
My bad.
Here is... Oh, wow. That's a lot. All right. Here's Connor Orr.
I did not like Washington's free agency at all. I hate the idea of microwaving this process, just being like, oh, okay, we made it to the NFC title game. Let's get Deebo Samuel and Laremy Tunsil, and let's trade away all of our picks for veteran guys, and bop, 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 bop. It's not 2010 anymore. Like, it doesn't necessarily work that way.
Okay, now we can just stop it there.
Sure.
He's like, you know, I hate the idea that they microwave the offseason. I didn't like Washington's offseason at all, he said. You know, they made it to the NFC jab, bah, 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 bah. And he highlights the Deebo Samuel and Laremy Tunsil deal. Listen, these things have a way of blowing up, right? Everybody should be prepared for some sort of letdown this year. It's very unlikely that this team is going to win 12 games again and really 14 games. It's very unlikely. Is it possible? Yes. Is it likely? No, not in my opinion. Not against a better schedule, more road games than home games, maybe more film, more tape, more what? Different guys getting injured. I mean, injuries probably will play the biggest part. And just because they got away with some oft-injured guys last year, Zach Ertz, Jeremy Chinn, and others playing through injuries, getting banged up, yes, but not missing any or not missing games or significant time or whatever, yeah, it doesn't mean obviously it's going to go that way again. So it's not likely, in my opinion. Is it possible? Sure. Could they? Absolutely. But you have kind of two choices in this game, right? In this world. You either stand pat, afraid to take risk, afraid to make a mistake, or you take a giant step forward and you're aggressive and you're bold and hopefully you come out smelling like roses. It doesn't always work that way. I think we should all know that. It doesn't always work that way. But obviously, Adam Peters hopes, Dan Quinn hopes, Josh Harris hopes, we hope, you hope, I hope that it will work out that way. Will it? I don't know. But could you imagine if they made it to the NFC Championship game last year? Or this past year. Could you imagine if they hadn't acquired Laremy Tunsil or Deebo Samuel? Or, if you want, to a lesser degree, Will Harris. Or Javon Kinlaw. Could you imagine if, when they had 29 free agents, if they let, I don't know, 23 of them go? You see what I'm getting at? We'd be killing them. I mean slaughtering them. Locally and nationally. If they had said, no, you know what? Nothing to see here. We're good. We're fine. We made it. We're done here. We're going to roll things back as best we can. And obviously they wouldn't completely roll things back. But my point being is, if they hadn't gone out and gotten Deebo, if they hadn't gone out and gotten Laremy Tunsil, if they hadn't gone out and gotten Javon Kinlaw or Jonathan Jones or Will Harris, or again, the other defensive line guys, you want to put Eddie Goldman into that? Fine, whatever. We'd be killing them. And you know who else would be killing them? Connor Orr. There's no way in hell, people, no way in H-E double hockey sticks, that Connor Orr or any of his national media cronies who only look at the surface, who do not have the deep layered knowledge because they're covering 32 teams. They microwave their coverage. The Commanders did not microwave their offseason or did not microwave their plan. You see where I'm going here? You see where the old rooster is crowing? The Commanders didn't microwave their offseason or the plan. The plan changed. They were better than they thought they were going to be, than anybody thought they were going to be. Part of that, a huge part of that, was obviously Jaden Daniels. That doesn't mean it will all be repeated. That doesn't mean it will not change. That doesn't mean it will be as good as it was. They could possibly not make the playoffs next year. I said the other day, they could possibly win 10 or 11 games and yet be a better team than they were at 12 and 5. How? Why? Well, they could stomp a mud hole on people, in people. Instead of winning a bunch of games on the final play, the final sequence, the final series, what have you. Right? They could be better with less or more, depending on how you perceive things. But what the Commanders are doing, I think, trying to identify the major holes that they feel they have, left tackle, and how that permeates to the rest of the offensive line. Defensive line, clearly an area of emphasis, patchwork, changing the carpet, changing the paint color, changing the design, whatever you want to call it.
Well, fortunately, there's a lot of paint available in the draft this year.
There you go. And in free agency, just because they're not household names.
Yeah.
Right? Because we didn't know Dante Fowler was going to have 10.5 sacks last year.
No, not many did.
You know, I like Dante Fowler was once a number 3 overall pick. I did not like him coming out of Florida. I don't remember what I didn't like about him. Maybe it was his run defense. I can't remember. And I did not like him. And Scott McLuhan had him in 2015 at the top of his draft board. Or maybe it was 2016, whatever year that was. He was number 1 on the draft board. Okay? So here's the thing, and we'll get to the calls in a sec. Like, again, you can call it whatever you want. I prefer to call it bold and aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, to take a step back from that, I call it common sense. Max, Connor Orr said it was microwaving the offseason.
Yes.
He hated it.
Yes.
I said it was bold and aggressive, or maybe just using common sense. When you have a team that's better than you thought, maybe more advanced because of the quarterback, because of veteran leadership, because of the coaching staff, because of whatever, maybe because of an easier schedule, we'll see, all of that. When you have that opportunity and you're presented that opportunity, are you supposed to sit on your hands and do nothing and do diddly poo?
No. You're supposed to go for it. And there's another thing he said in his little, in the clip that I'm just going to play for you right now.
For everybody that's telling me, well, you have to strike while the iron's hot, that's what the Jets said with Mark Sanchez. That's what the Eagles said with Carson Wentz. And it ended up just overloading these guys.
So what did the Jets do with Mark Sanchez? They went to 2 AFC title games.
Yeah.
And then Carson Wentz, what did he do? He had an MVP caliber regular season.
They traded up to I think it was like 13 or 14 to number 2.
Mm-hmm.
Drafted Carson Wentz.
Mm-hmm.
His second year.
Yep.
They had a breakout. He had a breakout year. He was having, like you said, an MVP year until he tears his ACL.
Until he tears his knee up and he's never the same. And that happens to a lot of guys.
And Sanchez was a number 5 overall pick. And like you said, they went to 2 AFC championships. Now, largely, that was because of their defense and their running game. But they went.
Yes, the point still stands.
Right. Now, what they both turned out to be, ultimately, because of injuries, because of whatever, is not, of course, what the hope was, what the expectation was.
Right.
So if Connor Orr's point is, you know, you might get immediate success out of Debo, and you might get immediate success out of Laremy Tunsil and whoever. If that, but long term, they will not help you because of their age, because of their injury history. He might be right.
But that's the thing. They're not going to be here when Jaden Daniels does inevitably get paid.
Yes. Now, they may be here long enough to get injured or to become, to be rendered ineffective.
That could happen anyway.
But I guess my point being is, if they didn't go out and get these guys,
mm-hmm.
if they were, say, waiting for the free agent market to filter and strain through, right?
Yeah.
Every last bit of water straining through, so that the pasta's not soaking in water, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they waited for every, and then, we're going to sign, some 9-to-5 ham and egg, or just because he didn't cost money and we think we can do something with him and whatever, we'd be going bananas.
Yeah.
We'd be going nuts. Strike while the iron's hot. Strike while you have the opportunity. Listen, me, I'm as conservative as I can get on a lot of things. I don't like to spend a lot of money. I'm not lavish. I'm not reckless. I think I use a lot of common sense. Not all, but I think I do.
Most of the time, yeah.
Yeah. And yet, here I am, and you're way younger than me, so I fully expected you to be kind of more on the aggression side.
Yeah.
Here I am saying, listen, I don't know if these moves are going to work out. I don't know how good they're going to be. But in the moment, when you have to make the decision, have made these decisions?
You got to make the call.
The answer is yes.
Yeah, you got to go for it, man.
The answer is yes.
When you have a guy who's playing what many have called the best rookie season ever,
yeah,
you need to surround him with people who are A, going to protect him, and B, help him elevate.
Could they do more? That's the answer or the question that I think Jeff in Clarksburg wants to tackle in the leadoff spot here. Jeff, how are you?
Doing good. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, thanks for making it.
Taking the call.
Absolutely.
Now, we were the fourth best team at the end of the year. Okay, we were the fourth best team at the end of the year. You could say Philly won,
Kansas
two
City.
And three, but we were number four.
Right.
Kansas City. Maybe we had Kansas City. Maybe we had Kansas City.
Well, maybe you had Buffalo. Maybe you had Buffalo. Maybe you were the second best. Maybe you were the second best.
There you go. But, like a lasagna, you can put it in the oven for 2 hours, but if you're ready to eat, you throw it in the microwave. And this team is ready to eat. And about the 12 wins, maybe not this year, they did what a team who knows the schedule next year is going to be better. They upgraded to keep up with the schedule. So with the quarterback, unless you think he's going to take a crap on himself this year, there's no way this team isn't a competitor for the title game again, because they upgraded everything like they're supposed to do. This team is doing everything that they're supposed to do. They're competent. And they are going for it like they're supposed to do, because they have all the pieces in place for the most part.
Well, let me ask you this. Should they be doing more in your eyes? Or is this the appropriate plan of attack?
You got to add another piece. If what we did with what we had was amazing, and then we have already upgraded to try to keep up with the schedule, if we go again, then, it's a toss-up for the NFC East against Philly.
What about Dallas?
Roll the dice. Let's keep it moving.
What about the Cowboys?
What about next question? What about Dallas? Right, come on.
I just wanted to make you laugh. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate the phone call. Good call.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Strong opinion. 301-230-0980. Speaking of the Cowboys, did you see the little tete-a-tete between DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons? We got to get into that on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Stay with us. All right, we continue our Billy Joel theme as a way to pay tribute to John Feinstein, who, of course, passed away yesterday at the age of 69. John was a huge fan of Billy Joel and would play that as his walk-up music on the Junkies every Friday morning at 8 a.m. forever and ever and ever and ever. And, we were trying to think of besides yesterday and if you missed it, again, it's at the team980.com or on the Odyssey app. Every segment, every hour, every show is podcast. Just go to the Chris Russell Show at the Team 980, again, on the Odyssey app or at the team980.com, and you can hear my initial words, thoughts, whatever. And then Dan Lang, the voice of American University and the Patriot League champions, the American University Eagles, he was in studio with us. And he had, like me, had worked with John Feinstein in different capacities. So we were able to, you know, pay a little tribute to John. So if you missed all of that, you know, please go check it out on the podcast. As always, if you missed anything, we're always live. We're always free on the Odyssey app. We're also always on demand. So you can listen to us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just real quickly before we get back to the calls. The Commanders have been holding all of these press conferences and junkets and Zoom dealios as guys come in and sign their contracts and take their physicals and the deals become official. So today we heard from Javon Kinlaw to start the show, of course, about being a D.C. native and growing up a Skins fan and all that. We just heard from, I haven't heard it. I saw that it was going on. Jonathan Jones, the veteran corner coming in from New England. He can play slot. He can play outside. I have no idea what exactly the plan is for him. He says he's willing to do whatever. But he also said he talked to Stephon Gilmore, who played for Dan Quinn in Dallas a year plus ago. And I thought Stephon Gilmore might be coming here last year.
Kind of hoped, but.
And didn't sign with Minnesota, right? I was a little surprised by that, by the way. But he said that Gilmore told him that Quinn was a, quote, phenomenal coach, and that it would be, quote, one of the best decisions you can make, end quote. So that's interesting that Gilmore did not get signed by Dan Quinn and Joe Witt and Adam Peters here, and could have, and there were already enough questions about not only Emmanuel Forbes, but also Benjamin St. Juice. And so much so that they went out and added a veteran corner in Michael Davis, and that was a terrible flop, and Noah Igbinoghene, and that worked, and he was re-signed. But they went out and added a couple of veteran corners and did not add Stephon Gilmore. Now, I don't know what money he was asking for at the time. Maybe he was asking for $10 million a year, and I think he settled on like $7 million a year in Minnesota. I don't remember. But the point being is he didn't sign here. We don't even know how interested they were. But the bottom line is he had really nice things to say about Dan Quinn. And if Jonathan Jones called you up and said, hey, man, what do you, Washington's showing interest. What do you think? Dan Quinn, is that a place I can flourish? Is that a place I can go? Yeah. Go. Be the one of the best decisions you can make. Called him a phenomenal coach. So even when a guy doesn't get signed for whatever reason, sometimes your reputation, or not the perception, but the reputation, lives on. Guys aren't like, oh, man, bleep that guy. Screw that guy. Oh, he's terrible. Hey, he's fake. He's this. He's that. That's how much guys love and respect Dan Quinn. That even when they don't get signed. And we don't even know if they were interested, but it would stand to reason that they should have been. Not could have been or were, but should have been. That it helped them land a different free agent corner. All right, 301-230-0980. I tell you what we got to do. We are running a little bit late, so I want to stay on schedule. Daryl, I'm going to come to you first. Have the Commanders microwave the offseason? That is the question. I say hell no. Max says no. You got to be aggressive when you have the opportunity to get after it. Now, we can argue about different levels of aggressiveness, all that stuff. Got it. The bottom line is I think they're doing the appropriate thing. And as we said earlier in the week, Drafting players alone or having draft picks, while it is the easiest and cheapest and most controllable form and fashion of building a football team, guys, you don't know if they can play. You don't know if they can actually play. Right? So if the idea is to find people who can play, it would stand to reason that sometimes, and maybe more than sometimes, you're going to go out and get players that have already proven that they can play on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app. All right, we continue along. 37 minutes after the hour, 23 until the top. Just past halfway home here on a Friday afternoon, along with Mad Max. I am the Rooster, Chris Russell, cock-a-doodle-doo. As we remember the life and times of John Feinstein with his favorite artist, Billy Joel, leading us back from every break today. And again, there's so little that we can ultimately do, but we do what we can to remember those that have made an indelible impact. And we continue along, in the vein of talking about whether the Commanders have microwaved the offseason. And again, that's such a weird term, if you will, but I understood where Connor Orr was going with it. And again, I think there is one notable comparison, and I brought it up earlier this week. Remember after the 2020 season in which the Commanders were 6-9 going into Philadelphia on Sunday Night Football and won a Sunday night game to win the division at 7-9? How pathetic is that? Right? And we all thought, oh, okay, because they gave the Tampa Bay Bucs a tumble the next week and the Bucs went on to win the Super Bowl. Oh, man, this team is really close. And they went out and signed Ryan Fitzpatrick, Curtis Samuel, and William Jackson III. And that particular year, all three, two because of injury, one because he was a bad fit, bad player, bad scheme, bad whatever, was a complete disaster. But neither of the three, I mean, Samuel eventually contributed in year two and year three, but hardly to the degree that they were hoping. And William Jackson III was cut basically a year and a half into his deal, and Fitzpatrick retired and never played again. And yet, I remember thinking at the time and doing the show with Pete, the Commanders are being aggressive. Then they weren't the Commanders. They were the Washington football team. They're being aggressive. Are they ready? Are they there? Here's the difference. Not only was last year's team clearly, by every representable measure, better than that team, they have much, much, much smarter people making these decisions. And on top of that, the most notable thing, they have the quarterback. So there's being aggressive and striking while the iron's hot when you don't have what you think you have. Classic case in point, what happened there. And then there's striking while the iron's hot when you think what you have is sustainable, is ascending, and nobody knows for sure. But you see the difference just in this organization. Now, again, it's two different regimes. But they didn't have the quarterback situation solved when they thought, hey, we're going to, as a matter of fact, they tried to go buy their quarterback with a veteran career journeyman. Now, I did not have a problem with Fitzpatrick compared to making a reckless trade for, you know, a Trey Lance or Mac Jones or whoever it was, that Justin Fields, whoever it was that was coming out that year. I did not have a problem. I was wrong. I liked the William Jackson III deal. I thought they were going to use him differently. I like the Curtis Samuel deal. He got injured. right away. And then Ron lied about surgery. I'll never forget that. But my point being is, they weren't really ready to contend. This team now, with different management, and it's hard to imagine that anybody would disagree, a more sophisticated football IQ and thought process, this team, by sheer proof, is more ready to contend than that team. But in all logic and common sense, because they have the quarterback figured out, is more ready to contend. So again, just because you strike while the iron is proverbially hot doesn't mean you're doing it at the right time. This team, this regime, it may blow up in their face, but they're striking while the iron is hot, I believe, at the right time. Not microwaving it, not thinking they're on a magic carpet ride. It may not work out. There's a difference, though, between bad plan, smart plan, reckless, aggressive. There's a huge difference. And if you can't see that, I don't know what to tell you. I hope I just outlined it for you. Let's go to Daryl in Columbia. He's been patiently waiting. Daryl, thanks for hanging in there. How are you?
I'm doing well, Rooster. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I just wanted to mention that I am thoroughly satisfied with the moves that they're making. I think that every position has improved, you know, not dramatically, but has improved, you know, from the defensive line. You know, we lost Allen, but we gained, you know, four players that have a part. You know, this guy Dietrich Smith is a good run stopper. You know, last year when we went into the season, nobody knew what to expect. We ended up getting 47 sacks just by schematic alone, just the scheme alone. And I look at every position on the field, you know, from receivers we upgraded. Our running back committee is still the same. Our secondary, we've improved, you know, with the cornerbacks going in with Forbes and St. Juice. And we look at Jonathan and the other cornerback, if his leg holds up, you know, with the tissue. But even if it doesn't, we got Sainsville, as a backup. But
with the tissue, you're talking about Marshon Lattimore.
Absolutely.
Gotcha.
But the other thing, though, Chris, is, you know, I just think we need a breakaway running back that can take it to the house, mm-hmm. like Barkley.
Yep.
You know, I think that, you know, whatever they're going to do with B-Rob, but we need somebody that's a threat with him and Jaden back there and Samuels, you know. I think that they're going to put a Coleman at right tackle, and they're going to put Wiley at guard until Cosme comes back. And I look at every position, but what's going under the radar, Chris, is that our coaching continuity is still there. We didn't lose I don't think I'm making a mistake. I don't think we lost one coach.
The assistant special teams coordinator they lost, but that's fine. Trust me. They're good.
Yeah. Yeah. So our coaching continuity is there. And I just think that, 2 years under this system, and I love the pieces that they brought in, man. These guys are dogs, man. I mean, they high intensity. You know, this guy, the safety, Jonathan Jones, the cornerback. Mm-hmm. You know, these guys come up and they got bad intentions, man. I'm really happy with the moves that Adam's making. I love the way he's cooking it, man. I love, and I don't want them to get Erickson. I want them to take, you know, they can find, they got, this is a good draft with good tackles and with good edge runners. I mean, setting that edge. And right now, you know, with Doris Armstrong and Dietrich Smith, they can set the edge. Dietrich Smith is 285 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, Doris Armstrong didn't do too bad. You can always blitz Luvu and the middle linebacker.
Well, and I also think you're going to continue to see, like, some Deron Payne out on the edge, some Javon Kinlaw on the edge. I mean, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, if he can stay healthy, which he didn't, and he was ascending last year. So I do think they will be much better on the edge with this re-permeated defensive line than they were, and certainly when we last saw them. There is no doubt about that. I don't know if they're dramatically better. That I don't know about yet, but
that.
They are different.
Yeah, I think they're definitely better than the team that left that field against the Eagles.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, they're not dramatically better, but we're better than the team
that
finished that playoff.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Great call. Thank you, Daryl. Appreciate you. Have a good weekend. Great call. All right, we'll take a timeout. 248, Team 980, and the Odyssey app. We'll come back, get more of your calls. Did you, Max... Did you realize this? I did not realize this. There's a Kenyon Green who stinks and was a mid-first-round pick a couple of years ago for the Texans. A lot of injuries. And he was just traded to the Eagles as part of the Chauncey Gardner-Johnson trade, right, from the Texans. But then the Texans also just lost a Kendrick Green on the offensive line. So they had a Kenyon Green and a Kendrick Green, and Kendrick Green just went to the Bills. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
But Kenyon Green was the former first-round pick who stinks.
Well, there's
But he'll be great in Philadelphia.
Have you seen the tweet that anytime somebody says former first-round pick, it usually means that the player sucks?
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. We'll take a timeout. More Billy Joel in honor of John Feinstein. Straight ahead. Stay with us. A little Captain Jack from Billy Joel as we continue our Billy Joel theme and tribute to the late, great John Feinstein. Mad Max, you sent me something earlier today, and I just wanted to make sure I get it out before I forget because I've got a million things on my mind. Matthew Berry, who has become kind of like a Commander's insider for many in the media and for many fanboys because he's a Commander's fan. And clearly, I'm sure he's got somebody chirping to him from inside the building. One of these, blog sites or whatever, Burgundy Blog, was talking about the wide receiver room, and he said, Terry's the man, Debo's a fun toy, Noah B is a dog, but not exactly your prototypical wide receiver, too. Are we sure Amari Cooper at 2 years, $25 million isn't a good fit? I think you know my answer on that. I never have been an Amari Cooper fan, ever. I used to, I actually talk to real people. I used to argue with my late friend, A.J. Smith, the former general manager of the Chargers and personnel executive, vice president, whatever, here with the Bills, with the Commander, then the Redskins, and father of Kyle Smith, who's the assistant GM with the Falcons. And I love A.J., and I miss him. He loved Amari Cooper. I didn't like Amari Cooper, and I had my reasons. Drops, didn't think he had, that special juice in big games. Whatever.
That dog.
That dog in a man. Matthew Berry, about Amari Cooper, said this, quote, "Amari is done. That's not me talking. That's from an offensive coach of a former team of his I spoke to at the combine. Amari is done doesn't... I didn't take that to mean Amari's done playing football.
Yeah.
Amari is done I took to mean Amari doesn't have anything left or much left. And I think that was spelled out by the Bills down the stretch.
Oh, yeah.
They acquired him
and then just,
and they hardly used him.
Yeah, didn't use him at all.
Right? On a team not exactly blessed with bountiful talent at wide receiver.
Some may even say deficient.
Yeah. I mean, Shakir's good. They obviously extended him. Curtis Samuel had a nice year.
Matt Collins,
but they let him go.
Yeah, and now they're Patriot. Apparently.
And now they're going to let Amari Cooper go, which, again, is not a surprise to me. I've told you all along, I have no interest in Amari Cooper. None. I'd literally rather have nobody than Amari Cooper. Or, Max, I'd rather have you running routes.
I'd love to see that one-on-one.
Probably be a bad personnel move?
If I lost a ton of weight, maybe not. But at my current size, not a chance.
Maybe. Let's squeeze in Bill in Gaithersburg here before the top of the hour. Bill, I got about a minute and a half for you, so go right ahead. Sorry about that.
Hey, Rooster, can you hear me?
Yep, I got you, Bill.
So I want to go back to your theory on you don't know if these draft picks can play. So in the last 5 months, this is what we've got. We've got Marshawn Lattimore, Deebo Samuel, and Laremy Tunsil. And we got back a fourth and a fifth. This is what we gave up. 2 third-rounders. A fourth, a fifth, a sixth, and a seventh. And in 2026, we gave up a second and a fourth.
Yep.
Folks, we got 3 Pro Bowl players. You're not guaranteed to get one out of a draft. Now, when they did draft, their strategy last year blew my mind because they went for team captains. That's 6 out of their 9 picks, I think, were team captains.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good strategy.
And the tremendous athleticism, if you remember that, Bill. Like the RAS, the top athletic score thing, that's what they also shot for. Leaders, captains, and that.
Right.
So what you're saying, basically, in a nutshell, what you're saying is you agree with me that, like, look, you'd like to build through the draft. You certainly want to build through the draft. Because they're cheap, controllable, and you can mold and build. But the bottom line is you don't know if they can play in the NFL.
No. That Fair. Collegiate play doesn't always translate.
Exactly.
Get maybe a good edge.
Yeah. Yes. And you can bring him along and you can develop him and maybe he's better or quicker or whatever. We'll see. But you can't rely on that. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it. I got to let you run because we're way up against it. Heading to the final hour of power for the week right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Stay with us.